It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm yo buddy, Johnny Radio. It is a little two for Tuesday action. We got David Cobb, DC, and Zach Boyd in the house today. And we're busy because, man, it's like a little two for action. You know, we got a couple games tonight. You got the Cavs. You got Boston at 6 o'clock on TNT. You got tonight Dallas and OKC at 8:30. And we're going to talk about the madness that was last night in the National Basketball Association. And again, for all those out there, I still saw, like, I read an article this morning about Adam Silver is freaking out that it could be a Minnesota-Oklahoma City NBA Finals representing the West. I don't understand people who feel that Minnesota or Oklahoma City are not fun to watch. Because if you watch Minnesota, they just stomped a boot heel. What is that saying with the dude with the I think it was Alabama? He just took a hobnail boot and stomped a hole in his ass. I think it's something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Alabama fans, dude. If it's Alabama. 901-360-8255.
You just offended every Alabama fan.
Oh, you know what?
It could be.
Like, it could be. I could see this game, that like this saying coming from like an Iron Bowl. But 901-360-8255. 901-360-8255. Hit me up at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line if you know the answer to the stupid thing that I brought up just a minute ago about the hobnail boot. Because that's exactly what the Timberwolves put in the Nuggets. Yes. 106-80. They held the Nuggets to 30 points in the first half. Do you know that that means they played 24 minutes of basketball in an NBA game and the Nuggets got 30? Jokic only scored 16 points last night. Discombobulated. Frustrated. But I'd never have seen anybody as frustrated as Jamal Murray was. They were in his shorts last night. Jamal Murray couldn't get space to do jack, and he's the guy who carved him up last season in the playoffs. He's the guy who hit the two game-winning shots against the Lakers, and now this Minnesota team didn't even need Rudy Gobert last night because McDaniels was out there playing defense like it was nuts. Alexander, bro. That guy was relentless last night. And you think, oh, man, basketball, it's about, you know, scoring. Minnesota, no, it's about how they stop you, play defense, and then they turn that into transition offense. And let's be real, Ant-Man's the most exciting thing that we have seen in a long time. And what I mean by that is he just does it different. His shots where he pirouettes and falls away off his left foot and buries it in freaking Aaron Gordon's face. Him taking on three Nuggets and then throwing it high off the glass and it just tear dropping in. Or him just catching a ball and then flying up over people and dunking all over their face with basically, like, he jumps so high and gets so nasty. Like, he's, like, putting his crotch all over NBA players' faces. And it's not something I'm talking dirty. I'm talking about this is filthy, nasty NBA basketball talk. This guy is embarrassing, folks. And Cat's doing his part. And you know I ain't a Cat fan. Not a big Cat fan. But damn it, Cat's playing some hoops. Mike Conley, a coach on the court, just carving people up, looking good. I mean, Mike Conley scores 4 points But damn it, do you see how he just weaves and dribbles around? And you're like, oh, man, only had six assists. Man, he just does Mike Conley things. Kyle Anderson slow-mo played another great game again last night. Dudes, like, you have guys out there who don't have to score because they know that the Ant and Karl Anthony Towns are going to get theirs. And Naz Reid, dude, Naz Reid, am I really seeing this from him? Tell me that you never thought Naz Reid was going to turn into a three-point shooting marksman, a dude who's going to grab you some big rebounds. And how many blocks did he have last night? Four,
yeah. Sixth man of the year.
Naz Reid, sixth man of the year. Where did this come from? Because Naz Reid put in that work. I want you to think about this. Do you know he was undrafted?
How about that?
Undrafted to having one of the great games we've seen against, the NBA MVP. That dude is just playing. And by the way, let's just not forget, this dude's 24. He's 24 years old. Do you know what Naz Reid tells you? If you believe in yourself and you're willing to put in that work, of course he's big. He's got physical tools. But coming out, Naz Reid wasn't expected to be Jack. I mean, again, undrafted to sixth man of the year and schooling folks. I am so sold on Minnesota, it's not even funny. I've never seen the Denver Nuggets look like that. And the crazy thing is, do you know who I just now realized something, and somebody we never have ever talked about? You know who Tim Conley is?
Yes.
He's the Timberwolves president, and he's the basketball ops president. You know what I'm saying? He's like president of basketball ops.
Yeah.
Guess who he was? He had that same job for when they drafted Nurkic and Murray and put this whole team together.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, he was with them.
Wow.
So he's with them. Puts the Nuggets teams together, leave, they go get a championship, gets over to Minnesota, does things that, if you remember, when they brought Rudy Gobert to Minnesota, was there a person on planet Earth out? Dude, people inside Minnesota thought this was dumb. Look, the NBA is more about pace and space and three-pointers and getting up and down and outscoring your opponent. Not if you can play defense and hold the Nuggets to under 80 points for this season. I mean, under 80 points in that game. And let's not forget, was it Minnesota number one in offense and defense? Or did I just fall asleep and dream that up because I saw just such a beatdown? Dude. NBA is on notice. First two games, the Nuggets combined for 179 points. While Minnesota scored 212. These aren't just wins. These are butt whippings.
Yep.
And Ant-Man's that boss. You know why Karl Anthony Towns, I think, is playing so much better? Is because if you look at Karl Anthony Towns, doesn't have to be that fake tough guy. He doesn't have to be a leader. Ant does all his talking for him, even in the post-game pressers.
Yeah.
Tells him to stop effing fouling. I mean, the leader is a young kid who, when he came out of Georgia, I sure didn't see this. He is something else. And again, they didn't even have Rudy. This is going to be, and I don't care what he, like, this ain't crazy. Bro, they sweeping them. Get out the brooms. Because Denver doesn't have an answer. Murray can't get any space to create a shot. The long athletic wings for the Timberwolves have made it impossible for Jokic to do all of his passing. Like, they are too long. Jokic is not seeing the ball well. They're in everybody's shorts. They'll leave Aaron Gordon open to shoot threes. I mean, he hit two of them yesterday, but man, He shot 40% from three-point last year in the postseason. This year, he is terrible. I think he's hit three in the entire postseason and got two of them last night. They'll let him take that shot. We're telling me that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on a bad ankle is supposed to be their offensive spark? I don't think so. Minnesota, they are nasty. Now, we're going to get to see some interesting stuff out of the West still with the Mavericks and the Thunder. I'm not saying it's the Minnesota Timberwolves to win it all because, you know, the Mavs and the Thunder, we're going to see some good basketball because the West is just better than the East because over in the East, they just play, they're not any good. Indiana Pacers don't play a shred of, they don't play defense at all. How can a team get up and dominate basically for three quarters, be up like that, and then they just are like, ole, offense. Just do it, Brunson. Just do it, brother. Hey, Hart, you're 6'4". Go get another, 25,000 rebounds. DiVincenzo, bro, stay open, man. Like, just sit right there at the three-pointer. Get comfortable. Dante, I got you. Their defense is pathetic. They don't play defense. Look at what Minnesota does. Look, just outscoring somebody ain't going to work. Timberwolves are trying to figure that out. They're going to have to play some real defense the Dallas Mavericks tonight. You know, last series, again, I don't think they played really anybody. The Clippers are terrible and old. But guess what? Luka put effort on defense and looked better. It's going to be a different level of defense the Mavericks are going to have to come up tonight because the Thunder can score in many different ways. I think tonight's going to be a great game. The West is just different. The Cavs and the Celtics, please. I don't think the Cavs have a chance. Did you see that line's minus 12 and a half? And you have to lay $600 to win 100 on the money line in the Celtics. This is the semis, bro, in the East. You got the Pacers who don't play any defense. You got the Knicks who don't have any big men. I mean, Robinson out there, bless his little heart. And Isaiah's all right.
I like him a lot.
You like him, but let's be real. Come on out west, brother. Play a little bit different brand of basketball.
I wish the Grizzlies could go after him this offseason, but they can't.
Well, wish it. The Grizzlies are in trouble because, my goodness, if they don't get a big man.
Oh, no, you're right about that.
They need a big man so bad it's not even funny. Look around.
And they're going to go draft.
The pendulum is swinging. The Golden State Warriors were so much fun, and Steph Curry was doing his thing. But, man, the pendulum swings. Goes one way. Things come all the way back. It always does. And now we're going through the pain again. Big men, long athletic wings. Like, you got to have wings all over the place. People love wings, right? Wings are delicious.
Sure.
Same thing with the NBA. If you're a coach, you want wings. Wings are yummy because you can throw them out there. You can switch. It doesn't matter. It changes the way you play defense. And being long and athletic and being able to get up and down the court and run is crucial in today's NBA. I thought last night was, I honestly could not stop watching that Denver game. And I had Minnesota. Also had the under. Whew. I got it at 204 when I was still feeling pretty good when the little sucker shot up early. Always play a little in line. But after you watched, let's say, 7 minutes of that game, did you not know? You were like, oh, my God, Denver is so frustrated. Mike Malone could have been thrown out, should have gotten a technical.
Should have. You're absolutely right about that.
Jamal Murray was acting like a petulant child.
Oh, they have like multiple guys trying to throw things on the court.
He's going to get in trouble. He's going to get fined huge. I mean, Murray threw a heating pad. What else was thrown out there?
He threw did he throw the heating pad? I know he threw a towel.
He threw a towel and a heating pad.
He did both. Wow. So I didn't know because I couldn't see who threw the heating pad. But yeah, the heating pad actually got on the court. The towel did not, and you saw one of their like managers quickly like run out and grab it, hoping that nobody would see it. But we all saw it.
And I gotta say one thing also, man, Denver, bro, y'all are the defending champs. What a bad look, just screaming at the officials and complaining and whining all night. You got hit in the face and you were looking for help. No, bro, it's like boxing. Dude, only thing he can do on the side is yell at you to do this, do that, or throw in the damn towel. What did you want, coach, to throw in the towel? Did you want the officials to get you to the free throw line? Were they playing too physical a brand of defense for you? Man, the defending champs look like a bunch of whiny, whiny babies, bro. I was I was in shock. And then how many turnovers, do you watch Denver have this many turnovers? Do you remember seeing a team? No. Just turning the ball over left and right. But, man, got to also give credit not only to Ant-Man. Karl Anthony Towns played great last night. But as much as I think the East is embarrassing, Jalen Brunson's a baller. And Dante DiVincenzo said it in the post-game press night. The dude's been doing it his whole damn career since I moved in with him with Nova. I think he's got to give himself a little bit of credit. Ever since I moved in with Brunson, I don't know if you know this, he's been doing this. No, but Jalen Brunson's a baller, and this is crazy. I can't believe this. Most consecutive playoff games with 40 points. You know who's on that list?
I saw Michael Jordan's on the list.
Yes.
I don't remember who else.
All right, so number one is 6 consecutive playoff games with 40-plus points, and that's crazy. Would be the great Jerry West.
The logo.
Now there's 3 people who were tied with 4. You go back in time for the New York Knicks, Bernard King.
Yeah, how about that?
Of course, Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jalen freaking Brunson.
That's unbelievable.
4 consecutive games in this postseason. Dude is playing like an absolute madman. Give the little man his props. I mean, I honestly don't know how he does it. I really don't. He uses, he puts his shoulder in more people's chest. Bigger guards, he bumps them with the chest and does the step back. He does a great job of finding people who are open and dropping dimes. I mean, damn, dude. He's averaging 9 assists a game and scoring like 40 points. He's just playing like a lunatic. And he's just nuts. My man is literally nuts right now. 36.6 points per game in these playoffs. Filthy. But damn, man, watching the Pacers play defense is also just so embarrassing. It's just, watching the East right now, I'm hoping, you would think, and then I have no faith. I watched the Orlando-Cleveland series. Was that a great series for entertainment purposes? Yes. Was it fun watching that young kid, Paolo Banchero, do his thing? Yes. Was it hard watching in Game 7 Franz Wagner melt under pressure? Pressure does burst pipes. Dude was scared to death to shoot. He had 1 field goal. What was it, 1 for 13, I believe?
Yeah, something like that.
Damn, Franz. But Cleveland was down by 18 against Orlando and needed a Herculean comeback and an absolute monumental collapse by the Orlando Magic to even be here. And Donovan Mitchell, while he was awesome. Bro, I don't trust Max Strus to come out there and just save them. He's going to have to, he'd have to be hotter than a firecracker. He'd have to go absolutely buck wild. Stay out of foul trouble, not get all pouty, whiny. They'd have to get a whole lot more out of their other players. And Evan Mobley, while he can block shots, looks like a deer when it comes to playing offense. If the ball doesn't hit him perfectly in the chest, he drops it. He's not a great offense. Did he have an amazing block in Game 6 in Orlando? No, Game 5 in Cleveland. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That was huge. 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 But they just don't have enough, man. Celtics can score from too many. They just got too much offensive firepower. It's going to be an ugly game. I still, though, it's too rich for my 600 to win 100.
Crazy.
Damn, this is the NBA semis.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking tons of NBA. We're going to talk a little bit more at 12 o'clock with Zach Boyd. We're going to take a quick timeout, but on the other side, it's college football and it's college basketball with CBSSports.com's very own David Cobb. Back in Two Shakes, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Hopefully you're safe out there. It's a little wet, you know that, right? Be safe while you're driving in them wet conditions.
More rain coming tomorrow.
Man, and I hope you got your insurance situation all set up right, man, because you know you need protection. Everybody needs protection. Doesn't matter if you're on the road or on the field. And Bob Simpson at State Farm is the best. He can buckle you up with auto insurance, back you up with health and life insurance, and he can cover your business, whether it's starting, growing, or maturing. Don't forget to insure your home, no matter if you're an owner or a renter. No matter, like, because, you know, like, you ever had anybody break into your house and you were a renter and only one person actually had the renter's insurance, and then you were in that place and you didn't have renter's insurance, so none of your stuff got back to you? Oh, that happened to me a long time ago, so please don't let it happen to you. Call Bob Simpson today at 901-381-1233 or go online and get a free quote at bobsimpson.org. Stay protected with your good neighbor, and your good neighbor is Bob Simpson. Plus, State Farm's commercials are so awesome. Is DC here, or is my screen just frozen?
Your screen just frozen. I'll go ahead and put them on for you.
What's up, DC?
What's up, John? How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I'm gambling. I'm winning. I didn't even say one thing in the first segment about how horrible the officiating was because I had the Knicks on the money line. But if I would have had the Indiana Pacers, I would have spent the first 20 minutes screaming about, why can't you review a damn, like a kickball? And just going crazy. The officials were terrible in that game. They're always terrible. But, man, I'm gambling and winning some money, so I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, heck yeah. Dude, how about freaking Mike Conley and Kyle Anderson, too, man? Two former Grizz shining with the Timberwolves. I mean, I know those guys aren't their star players, but
dude, their slow-mo was great on defense. I think he was like plus 15 or something last night when he was on the floor. I mean,
And we got Conley out there at what? He's 35, 36, and he's probably going to be playing, you know, I mean, if they win two more games, he's going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I love seeing that.
Yeah, and I love this Timberwolves team. And heck, man, pull out the brooms because the Nuggets look so discombobulated and they got punched in the face. And instead of going back and trying to punch back, they were looking for help from the refs. My goodness, they looked like a bunch of whining babies, didn't they?
I mean, their entire season has slipped away in these last two games. And, you know, all the buzz coming out of that first round was about how good Kyrie was looking and how he and Luka had figured out how to play together and all this. And now all of a sudden you're down 0-2. You failed to protect home court. I mean, it's just, but I'm stoked for Mike Conley because I want to see him. I would love to see him get a ring. I mean, that would just be awesome.
I would too. I've said, I went back a few, you know, if you go back to like maybe last week, I was like, all right, I don't know what to do. I said, I feel like we have to, Grizzlies aren't in the playoffs. You got Slo-Mo and Mike Conley, you know, the greatest time in Grizzly. You know, he was here, blah, blah, blah. So everybody, I think, or at least I hope, is rooting for Minnesota. And it's kind of hard not to root for Ant-Man too because he's just special.
Yeah, no, he is. And definitely misspoke on Luka and Kyrie. But, the Mavs, man, If we get a Mavs Timberwolves Western Conference Finals, I think that would be phenomenal. Anyway, long way to go in the NBA playoffs, but my rooting interest is with the former Grizzlies and Mike Conley in particular.
All right, we got to get to what you do best over at CBSSports.com. That's talking college football, college basketball, and college football. Sorry, I got a little baseball in the brain. You know how it is. Over at CBSSports.com, he writes about it, he talks about it, he does it all. And you're also still doing the transfer rankings, aren't you?
I still am.
You still are. How are our Tigers doing realistically in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, not bad. They've done well in terms of the guard position in particular with Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty. Those are two of your – I mean, I think just about everybody who ranks transfers is going to have those two in the top 100. I certainly do. So those two guys are really good pickups. What excites me about P.J. Haggerty is the fact that he's got three seasons of eligibility remaining. So you get a guy like that and – there's a chance that he develops into something pretty special. I mean, that's exciting to think about what he could become. Because in this era with Memphis, you've seen Memphis do well in the portal and get a guy like Kendrick Davis, but then you only get him for 1 year. He's a rental. And now with P.J. Haggerty, you can maybe get excited about having him around for a few years.
To know him?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Maybe he goes guns blazing next season, and then he goes to UConn or something. I mean, you just can't dismiss that possibility in this era. Or maybe he's good enough to turn pro. I mean, I don't know. But there's at least a chance that you could have that guy in a Memphis uniform for a few years, and I think that's got to get you pretty excited.
How confident are you that David Jones is going to come back to Memphis?
I would say better than 50-50 that David Jones comes back. Not because I have any specific intel about his frame of mind or what he's thinking about this decision, but just looking at his draft stock and looking at what he's up against in terms of what it's going to take for him to get a guaranteed contract or get into the first round discussion. I mean, he just has an uphill battle right now in terms of getting to that first round conversation or whatever. And so I think as a second round guy or an undrafted guy, you got to look long and hard nowadays about coming back to college because Memphis can afford to pay him. And it was such a big deal for Memphis that he didn't get in the portal because a lot of times you see guys try to position themselves for maximum leverage. And maximum leverage is, all right, I got the NBA on one side. I got my previous school here on the other side. And then I've also opened up this third dynamic where I've got the transfer portal available. And that's, you know, where you can sort of squeeze that lemon for every drop and make the most money possible by positioning yourself between those three options. But for David Jones, it's either going to be professional or Memphis. And I think given the way that his draft stock is looking, I think Memphis might be the best option for him in terms of making money.
I am with you, and everybody in Memphis is on their knees praying that he comes back. So hopefully that draft combine, he doesn't get some go absolutely crazy. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen weirder things happen.
Right, yeah, and that's the fear, right? I mean, it'd be great for him if that's how it went down. But, yeah, that's kind of the disaster scenario. But, you know, I think the good thing is that everybody already knows David Jones is really, really good offensively. I don't know that you hear guys go to the combine and just wow people with their defense.
True.
Because that's not a setting. It's not a setting where you can do that. It's a setting where you can show your measurables, your athletic tools, your offense capabilities, and they do play some 5-on-5 in the in the combine. But I don't know that you're doing that in a way that really has you, showing your defense or showcasing your defense. So I think that's kind of maybe the biggest question on David Jones is what can he bring to you on that side of the ball? We know how good he is offensively. That's obvious. So we'll see. I mean, I guess he could just go off the charts. He could be a big intangibles guy. He could impress people in meetings, that sort of thing. But, it would take a pretty special effort, I think, to get him into that big money, first round type of conversation.
All right. Got to also now ask you about a little SEC basketball. We talked a little Tigers down the not too far down the road. You got the Ole Miss Rebels. How's Chris Beard doing right now?
Well, actually better than I would have anticipated. Ole Miss is making a total stylistic revamp.
Moving on from defense and kind of going a little more offense?
Because a year ago they landed Musa Cisse and Jamarion Sharp, two of the absolute best shot blockers in the portal last offseason. And now you look at this roster and they're both gone,
by the way.
They are. And now your front court is, you got Mikael Brown-Jones, who is a more versatile stretch big. And then you got Malik Dia from Belmont, same type of deal, super athletic for a guy that has kind of like a defensive end type of frame. Like, you look at Malik Dia, and I saw him in person this year. You're like, okay, that guy can play defensive end at Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. Well, no, he's a basketball player, and he's about 6'7", 6'8", probably sitting at about 260. But dude can elevate. He can throw down dunks like you wouldn't expect for a player of his size. And he can also step out and shoot it a little bit. So he's got some pop to his game. That's what sticks out to me about Ole Miss. They've also done a good job with some of their guards that they're bringing in. But the front court has just gotten way more nimble, way more athletic. They don't have those rim protectors anymore, but they've got a little bit more agility and a little bit more pop, I think, with the guys that they brought in, on that front line.
All right, who's winning the war with the Calipari War, Kentucky or Arkansas?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think at the moment, I might say Arkansas, actually.
Me too.
Yeah, they got a few spots to fill still, but the spots that they have filled so far are they're looking really good, man. I love John L. Davis. I think Adoo Diarro has a lot of potential. They are kind of like Ole Miss from a year ago, and what they've added to their front court, because you now have a couple of seven-footers in Jonas Adu and Big Z, and okay, a lot of talent, a lot of promise, a lot of defense there. What does that look like offensively? I don't know exactly, but John Calipari has given himself some options there. So I think Big Z is one of the potential breakout stars of college basketball next season, because you remember he didn't get cleared until over halfway through this past season at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And he had that one big game where it was like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a lottery pick. And then, of course, he just wasn't ready for the SEC, and now he'll have an entire offseason to get himself physically ready to compete in the SEC. He's got the tools and the talent. Now he's got a little bit of experience and a clear path to playing time, because at Kentucky with Aaron Bradshaw and Trey Mitchell and Big Z, and there just wasn't a ton of minutes available to somebody who was getting cleared that late in the year. So I think at Arkansas, even with Adu there, Big Z is going to have a chance to really shine.
Man. I love that. One other question about college basketball before I go over to college football real quick and talk some financing and futures. What, Mark Sears is going to come back. I mean, correct? Like, he's going to be back at Alabama.
He is, yes.
And it looks like Nate Oates is doing it again. I mean, Alabama's kind of getting scary on that. I mean, their basketball, of course, has been scary. I mean, Nate Oates, what he did last year was ridiculous. Could next year's team be better?
It could. Having Mark Sears back is a great place to start. Alabama's one of those teams that you don't hear a lot about in the portal cycle, and that's because their best player is returning. They're potential All-American is likely back. Now, I know he's going to test the waters and all that, but Mark Sears is one of those guys that you have to really believe in if you're an NBA executive. I mean, if you're looking at Mark Sears, you're hoping he becomes Jalen Brunson at the next level. I mean, but that's just the hit rate on those guys who are 6 feet tall at the next level is it's not great.
Mm-mm.
It's not great. So he's going to go through that combine, but at Alabama he can make money. Similar situation to David Jones. It's like, all right, we know the offensive ability is there. What about the defense? In this day and time, you can make so much. All those same talking points apply to Mark Sears. So it's kind of like David Jones, where I would handicap it at slightly, you know, more likely to come back to Alabama. He's not in the portal, all that. So they've got a really good chance to get him back. Grant Nelson's coming back, too, who was obviously huge for them in the NCAA tournament. They just landed one of the best shot blockers of the cycle, Cliff Omorui, who I have ranked very, very highly. So, yeah, Alabama's going to be right there at the top of the SEC again next season. And, you know, that's certainly the case if Mark Sears goes through this combine and says, you know what, I'll play one more year of college basketball.
Got to talk a little college football. I'm running out of time, so I need to get to it. Last week, I think it was around this time, I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday last week, you know, there was a lot of kind of talk. You know, Ross Dellinger was putting things out there where, you know, a lot of people were saying they want to bring these collectives in-house and let the universities manage them. Make it to where, you know, the bowl seasons, that the kids don't opt out, et cetera, et cetera. And at first, while that idea came out, and I'm like, man, yeah, man, I kind of like this. Then I started thinking about it, and I really don't, because, one, they can already fix the transfer portal when those dates and when all that stuff comes in. You can already put in your NIL deals that you have to play through the regular season. And if you want people to play through bowl games, all you have to do is wait to open up the damn transfer portal till the national championship is crowned, open it up the next day. I mean, there's a lot of simple fixes. And again, if you bring that money into the universities and these collectives, how much is going to be their cut? And then it feels way too much like a pay, like an employee-employer relationship. What's your take on that?
Yeah, if you bring NIL in-house, it's not NIL anymore. It's a salary from your employer. You're being compensated directly by the entity that you are performing for. And that's employment. I'm not a lawyer, but that seems pretty cut and dry to me. And even now, technically, legally, it's not employment because the payment comes through the third-party collective and through, quote, NIL. But even still, it flirts the line with employment now. But, yeah, if you bring it in-house, then that's just what it is at that point. So it's kind of – there's a lot of hurdles still to go through. So if this house versus NCAA case gets settled, it's going to set us on the course for a new era in college sports, but there will still be more litigation to come because the numbers that we are seeing for like what the college athletes are going to make, they're going to make, according to the numbers that have been floated, 20% maybe of the athletic department budget. Well, in the pros, the athletes are making more like 50% of the revenue that's generated. And so you don't think there's some lawyers out there who are going to see that gap between 20% and 50% and say, well, hold on,
Hey, guys,
sport,
come on over here. Let me talk to y'all and let me tell you what I can do for you.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be some lawyers licking their chops to go and get even more money from those athletic departments. But it's got to be collectively bargained. There's got to be some sort of a players union, a player representative organization involved in this next iteration. If it's just the NCAA saying, okay, you caught us, we're going to start paying you guys, it's all coming in-house, we got this figured out, don't worry. That's not going to work because there's no voice for the athlete in that conversation. And I think that's ultimately what it's going to take. It's got to be a union, an association, something that represents the players, that has a say and a seat at the table in deciding whatever the percentage is going to be of the college sports revenue sharing model.
Man, it's a brand new world, isn't it? And litigation seems like it's going to be good. One other thing, them asking for federal, who asked the government to come in and ever makes anything better, never works? Why are they looking outside for help to kind of streamline this and come up with rules and regulations?
Yeah, so they need that antitrust exemption from Congress because otherwise it's collusion or a monopoly to say that, you know, we're going to run this industry and cap the earnings of the people in this industry. That's illegal in every other industry in the United States, with the exception of those that have received those antitrust exemptions from the federal government. So you got to have that. That's what the professional sports leagues have. And so college sports has been begging for that. Congress has looked at them and said, y'all have done nothing to put yourselves on a path to where that's even something we would remotely consider. But if they settle this lawsuit and establish a revenue-sharing model, then perhaps that pushes the ball forward enough for Congress to be like, okay, you know, we can work with this. So that's why this lawsuit is like a big deal. It would give the NCAA at least some progress to show to the politicians in Washington.
Interesting, man. Mega mind over here. David Cobb just filling us full of knowledge. Read his work at CBSSports.com. He's doing college football, college basketball. What you working on this week, homie?
Quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. We've got, I think Memphis fans will like this. I got the Group of Five post-spring power rankings update on the football side. And I think Memphis is going to be pretty high up on that. So haven't decided where yet. Got to look into some other teams. Got to do my homework on the Mountain West over the next few days. But that is scheduled to run on Friday. Memphis will be in the running to be number one there. If they're not number one, I pretty much guarantee you they'll be top five in that Group of Five power ranking. So, kind of curious to see how that one ends up shaping up.
Man, I'll be looking for the article to drop. You be blessed. Thanks again for your time. We'll do it again next week, homie.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks.
That is David Cobb, CBSSports.com. Back in 2 Shake Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a little two for Tuesday action, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know that you don't go buy one shoe, do you? You buy a pair of shoes.
Gotcha.
Reminds me of Tuesdays. You got to have a pair of shoes. Why don't you go get a pair of boots? Don't you like boots? They're the nicest. You know how long? Did I tell you about my buddy, Matt?
Yeah.
He went and got some new boots at Frontier Western Store at 5880 Goodman Road down in Olive Branch. But the boots that he got there before, he got them at Frontier Western Store. He'd been wearing them for 15 years. 15 years! He said he loves them still. He just needed a new pair. One that's more of, you know, kind of a stylish pair that he can go out wearing his boots. Man, if you need some boots, man, let me tell you, Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road down in Olive Branch, they have you because they have the largest boot showroom on planet Earth. They have everything from Western boots to work boots to dress boots to cowboy boots. You name it, they got it. Plus, they can dress everybody in your house from head to toe. They have a children's department, a ladies' boutique, a men's section. Frontier Western Store and frontierwesternstore.com. Now, Mr. Dacus.
Mr. Harden.
We've got a little day baseball today at 2:37.
That's right. Yeah.
I have been terrible. I've been terrible. I haven't been playing any baseball much lately. Last week I got real hot, played a little baseball. The weekend came in, kind of got busy with basketball and living. Hadn't really paid much attention. But I do see that the Rangers are playing the Athletics. And Oakland is even money. Oakland Athletics even money against the Rangers.
How about that?
And you said earlier today that you think the Athletics are America's
team. They're America's team, John. And Zach even backed me up. We can ask him about this when he joins. He even backed me up by saying that they don't even really have a real home. And I said that's because America's their home. America's team, only two games under 500. Last night, led against the Rangers until the eighth inning when the Rangers played three runs. Bullpen day for the Rangers. Maybe take a look at the A's, maybe first five.
Crazy.
Yeah, I this A's team's fun.
Man, by the way, Dodgers took care of business again.
Sure did.
Walker Buehler returned. But it wasn't about Walker Buehler because you know what happened yesterday?
What's that?
Do you know that dude named Shohei Ohtani?
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's upped his average to .370 on the season.
Incredible.
He's slugging at .705. His on-base percentage is .434. And I don't know if you know this, but he had another home run. He hit his 11th of the season. He had a very slow start in Los Angeles. He was going through a lot of stuff when it came to the whole gambling and the eBay. Found out a dude ganked $16 million. And let me just tell you something. I know he was probably worried about, you know, his good name and things of that nature. But you know in privately, he's like, dude, I'm that dumb that I let somebody steal $16 million from me? See ball, hit ball, pitch. Come on, man. I got to, like, start paying attention. Probably mess with his head a little bit. You know what I mean? And he just got married. Like, he married this woman. And you know what? She probably thought he was the smartest, greatest guy in the world. And then right after they get married, right after, he's got to tell his wife, I'm so dumb, I let homie embezzle $16 million from me. I understand why he started off slow. Could you imagine how mad you'd be at your wife if she just let somebody embezzle $16 million?
Oh, yeah, I'd be very, very upset.
You'd be like, woman, what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
What do you think she's thinking?
Dude, what are you doing?
No, here's what she's saying. Give me power. I'm your wife. I'm now running the finances. You go play baseball and back the bleep up.
Be smart.
You know what that means, don't you? Shopping spree. I bet she's headed down to Frontier Western Store right now.
Probably.
Taking Shohei's money, getting all them boots. Man, she's going to be looking good, though, when she's out on the road following the Dodgers around. Now, we do have some day baseball, but on the other side, it's time to get back in the NBA. I have not even talked about how terrible these people are at officiating NBA basketball games. If I was an Indiana Pacer, if I was a Pacers fan, I would be so furious it's not even funny. You call that a blocking foul? What? What? You didn't see that it hit him in the hand? You call that a kick ball, you idiot? What are you, blind? They got, man, who they got out there? What's the dude that used to sit there and do this? Oh, they got Ray Charles refereeing these games. Yeah. What, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles? The officials in that joint?
The blind leading the blind.
Terrible, man. Terrible. And let's be real. I hate to say this, but in the third quarter, when the Pacers went up 9 and it looked like they were about to get routed, it's kind of crazy how about 3 times in a row some BS calls went against the Pacers to the Knicks to get them to the free throw line to keep them even in that joint. Look, I'm happy I had the Knicks
on
the money
line. Yes, that's right.
If I had the Pacers, this would have been a 2-hour show.
It absolutely would have been.
About how I got robbed. Mm-hmm. That's straight BS. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the refs were on the take. Mm-hmm. Thank God I had the ref's side. Don't touch the dial. Zach Boyd's on the other side. Plus, we got some wood, good wood on Sports 56, 98.5 FM. You make the change.